Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Please join us here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we are here to share with you through our love, through dialogue, and communication about the Word of God, of God's place for God's people. And we ask that you join us here every Tuesday. Today we're going to have as our first song, a song by June Rochelle, His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Thank you.
Amen. Angels watching over me. His eye is on the sparrow by June Michelle. But tonight we're looking at the scripture text, which is our foundational text, is Psalms 133, 1 through 3. And it reads, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." And now we'll hear prayer by Brother Jefferson.
Precious Father, we come before you, thy humble servants, thanking you for another opportunity to gather in your presence on this Tuesday evening. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, for through his death and resurrection, we don't have to be separated from you forever, Father, that salvation has been afforded to us to look to be with you throughout all eternity, a gift that we could not earn, but a gift that you gave us. And we are eternally grateful for that, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to gather, for those who have joined us, for those who would like to join us, and for those that will listen to this message at a later date, Father, that we may be a change order, Father, in this world in which we live, that our light would shine, Father, that we may not be put up under a bushel basket to hide our light, Father, for we are your children. We are called to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, Father. So have your hand on us. Open our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, Father, that we may rightly divide your word and put it into practice in our lives, that we may not be the same people that when we leave this call, that when we came here, that you would have touched us in a way that helps us to serve mankind. For that's really what you put us here to do, Father, is to be a witness to the dying world about the power of Jesus Christ, the saving power of Jesus Christ, and your unfailing love. So have your hand upon us. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. I want to praise the Lord today for such an awesome devotion. We thank the Lord for getting us started on our journey, because we're so excited, because this week, this is our last week studying the topic, what does God say about unity and harmony? Today is November 29th. It's our fifth lesson and last lesson for this month. And the theme is, what does true unity and harmony look like? What does that look like? We've had four previous weeks of outstanding teaching from Brother Jefferson. We talked about, where does unity start? We talked about Malachi and Galatians and Ephesians. Who is the tie to unity in God? What does God say about one body? And why should we strive for unity and harmony? And after we came to an understanding of all those texts, today we culminate the question, what does true unity and harmony look like? So, Brother Jefferson, if you're ready to take us on in, home run, we are ready. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. But I'm going to admit that I may need a pinch hitter as well tonight. I've had some medical procedures today that caused me to be under, and I'm kind of still in a fog. But thanks be to God that I'm able to be with you, and he saw fit. So, team, this is a team effort.
We're here.
Amen. As always.
We are here.
Amen.
So, thank you all. Can we get a roll call to start with?
Britt's here.
Hey, Brother Britt, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
This is James.
Hey, Dr. Nook, how you doing?
All right.
Lester.
Brother Carver, always a pleasure.
Amen.
All right. Well, so what what does true harmony look like? I mean, I think we've kind of gone through that as we've studied this past month of where we were headed with harmony and unity and what God says about that, how we should strive for that, and you know, what does God say about one body? And basically, tonight is really just, for me, a recap of the previous 4 weeks, but also an exclamation point on what does true unity and harmony looks like. For me, it looks like being in relationship with God.
Amen.
So I'm going to kind of give you the answer to the questions going into this study. It really is being in relationship with God, because if we are in relationship with God, then God directs our path and our thoughts and our deeds and our actions, and then we know that we are going to be operating in an area that God wants us to be, which is unity and harmony with the brothers and sisters. And also, I don't know that many of us think about this, so let me read something for the audience that kind of, before I read the first text, that kind of makes sense to me, and not just in, with the brothers and sisters, because whether we know it or not, if we follow God's prescription of what he's asked us to do, that then it will grow just outside the brothers and sisters. And this is from 2 Peter. And I'm going to start at 2 Peter 1, verse 3. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. And by the same mighty power he has given us of his rich and wonderful promise, he has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, and that you will share in the divine nature. So make every effort to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to love for other Christians, and finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They have already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So what Peter is saying to us is that as we get to know Christ and as we develop that relationship, it produces these virtues in us, and one of those virtues is finally to grow to have genuine love for everyone. Doesn't matter their religion, doesn't matter their creed, doesn't matter their color, doesn't matter their sexual orientation. None of that matters, because first and foremost, we are all made in the image of God. Whether I'm a Muslim, whatever, we are all made in the image of God. God created man. There is no other author of the creation of mankind other than God. And what does it say? Let us make man in our image. And so if we foster that relationship with God and we accept Jesus Christ's saving power and grace and benefits, then we really will grow to love other Christians, and finally we'll grow to have genuine love for everyone else. So I just kind of wanted to put that on everybody's mind as we start down to study tonight, because that's ultimately, that's the prize that we should be looking for. As we run this race, that finish line is that we will grow to love everyone. So with that being said, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10, 22 through 24. And if someone has that, if you could go ahead and read that for us, please.
Any translation you're looking for? I've got the New Living Translation.
Let's start there.
Okay. The New Living Translation says, what? I love it. Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than God is? You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others.
That's pretty powerful stuff in there, right? I mean,
it sure enough is.
He starts off asking the question, you know, what do you dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? And I think we don't think that we do that in an instance where we're not being in harmony with the brothers and sisters of the faith. I don't think we consider that, you know, you kind of getting on the bad side of God. I don't think we realize that. We know we realize it when we are caught in you know, the sin of things that we do, and we know it's a sin. But ultimately, not having harmony and unity with the brothers is a sin too.
May I read this from the Message, please?
Yes. Yeah, Dr. Susan.
Yeah, it says, and I'm trying to figure out where in the middle of the passage. You can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with the demons the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us all or nothing. Do you think you can get off with anything less? Look at it one way. You could say anything goes because of God's immense generosity and grace. We don't have to dissect and scrutinize every action to see if it will pass muster. But the point is not to just get by. We want to live well, but our foremost efforts should be to help others live well. That's deep.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen. And how many, and how many Christians and churches are preaching that today? I mean, it's about helping others to live well. Not you. It's about helping others to live well. Because I'm a firm believer that if you help others and you do those things, that then God is going to bless you through that, which means that you're going to get all of God's blessings and understand the joy that comes from doing for others. I mean, that is...
Well, this is Dr. Susie, Brother Eric, and I think one of the phenomenal things about that is the question that says, you just got through saying this, we don't have to focus on ourselves, but help others to live well. We want to live well, but our foremost, what does foremost mean? Utmost, most important, foremost effort is to help others, help somebody other than yourself. Now, that's a challenge because if you
Amen.
And I told the truth, come on somebody, that we're supposed to be looking out for somebody else before we look out for ourselves. Hello, is anybody there? Did anybody hear that? Come on, somebody.
That's a hard concept.
That's a hard lesson. We've read two versions, and it hadn't changed a bit.
And there are those that ultimately, and I think most Christians get there once in their life. I don't know that all stay there, is to think that, well, you know, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I know that God has unfailing love. So, you know, at some point in time, I'm going to do this, and I'll know I'll be forgiven for it. And you know, this is Eric. Let me just say that this is Eric. Yeah, you'll be forgiven for it, but you'll be reminded about it, because we're all going to have to stand before God to give an account for everything that we've done. The good thing about that is that Christ stands there pleading our case. And he hasn't lost the case, so he stands before God pleading our case. So I know I've got a winning advocate, but I'm still going to be reminded about it when I stand there. And so, you know, as I said last week, I'm I'm walking towards the notion of this gift has been given to me, and because it has been given to me and I know I can't earn it, I should be trying to live in a way that pleases the gift giver. And if I'm doing that, then I'm not doing all those things that I normally would do in downgrading the brothers and sisters in the faith, talking about them, mistreating them, not being able to help them, or, you know, if you do help them, you got some snide remark to say and all of that kind of stuff.
All right.
You know, I should be willingly and freely and openly doing what I can to help them when it's in my power to help them.
Brother Teacher,
and you know what, Brother Eric, they're so right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother James.
Go ahead, Dr. Nooks.
I just was thinking about this, the title, What Does True Unity and Harmony Look Like? And thinking about this concept of looking out for the good of others. And also the concept that you read about as far as being getting to the point that we love everybody. True harmony and unity doesn't mean that we have to agree with each other.
That's absolutely correct.
And if we don't agree with each other, how difficult is it for us to try to look out for the good of somebody other than ourselves if we disagree with them?
Amen.
And if we disagree with them, can we still have true unity and harmony? Because we're not going to agree on everything.
Well,
that's,
the issue
that's
is
true,
that you but... won't do any harm, for sure. You know, I think that's the issue is sometimes we can disagree, but not at the disadvantage of hurting or harming our brother or sister. I mean, yes, we may not get our way per se, but we should desire, as the scripture says, the benefit of and the advancement and the helping of my brother or sister. And when we don't do that, when we're looking for me, myself, and I, that trinity, and not the godly trinity, I think we totally miss it. And I think we need to reflect a little more, because oftentimes, often than not, we are programmed according to Western culture to look at the personal trinity, me, myself, and I, versus what God is having us do to look outside of ourselves and help other people.
Yeah, Dr. Susan, and that statement you made, you know, my wife and I have a standing movie date every Saturday, and this past week we went and saw Almost Christmas, and there was a statement in there that if you can't help people, at least do them no harm.
There you go.
Or if you choose not to help them, at least do them no harm. Let me read this. This is out of a church covenant, out of a Baptist hymnal, and I'm not going to read all of it, but just this piece. In case of difference of opinion in the church, we will strive to avoid a contentious spirit, and if we cannot unanimously agree, we will cheerfully recognize the right of the majority to govern. And
all right.
And for me, what that says to me is that I can cheerfully recognize that, and if I can see where they are out of step, then my prayer needs to be to God that he would touch their hearts, minds, and souls, so they may get into step to what it is that God wants, not what Eric wants, but what God wants to be done in the organization that he established.
And, Brother Eric, I would say that that's very true, but, I mean, we've got a perfect example of what that may not look like when we have a large church following that was supporting President-elect Trump when he was defaming people of different races, ethnicities, cultures, and they supported that anyway. And so we, as you said, don't have to agree on everything, but we at least need to be biblical in our support. When the Bible says do justice, mercy, and humble, when the Bible tells us that there's neither slave nor free, male nor female, we're one in Christ Jesus, then we have to stand on the precepts of the word to guide the decisions we make.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dr. Susie. And so what that says to me is that, you know, there are people who will use their religion to place themselves in a position of authority. They will do that. There ain't no doubt about it. But God's word is true. And so when you see that, you need to call it what it is, and you need to be in prayer with God about a change coming forth. Because even in all of my strength, I may not be able to change it. But in just a little bit of God's strength, he can tear it all down.
Amen.
And that's the part we forget, is that we feel that we have got to fight God's fight. God isn't asking us to fight his fight. He's asking us to teach his word and talk his word to be true. God will fight his own fight. Moses didn't fight his fight for the children of Israel in Egypt.
Amen.
You know, none of the prophets fought God's fight. God fights his own fight. We are to be true to his word and to preach his word and to go forth and be a reflection of God in the truth of the matter. And so we do need to be calling that out, Dr. Susie, in the face
Amen.
Of those who do that. But it doesn't need to be in a combative, you know, we got to fight kind of way. There is nothing in me that says that what we have witnessed is the right thing for any of us. But the fact of the matter is that I still know God, and I still know that God is ultimately
Amen.
In charge. And I also know that the Bible tells us that, you know, there will be people who will call themselves Christian and have a form of religiosity, but it ain't true. And everybody that calls himself a Christian is not a Christian.
Amen.
And I can't judge that because I don't know them, but God does. So my prayer, my fasting, my devotion, my reading, my study is that God will do what God needs to do for it all to go the way that it needs to. Now, it doesn't mean, brothers
Amen.
And sisters out there listening, that you're not going to have some trials and some tribulation. It does not mean that.
Absolutely. But it means that everything has to be regulated by love.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
Amen.
also, we're not going to be in harmony and unity with the world. And I think we need to understand that.
Amen, Dr. Nook. Amen, Dr. Nook.
If we are Christians, our faith walk is not the same as the faith walk or the non-faith walk of those that are in the world. So we should not expect to be in harmony and unity with everybody. But for those of us that call ourselves Christians and we are true believers, there should be some harmony and unity with us, even though we might disagree, but there should still be some harmony and unity with us in the fact that we should be yielding to God and we should be trying to lift each other up, even above our own self. In other words, our
Amen.
Ego has to take the back seat in order for us to be in harmony and unity with each other in Christ. But if we are out of harmony and unity with people in the world, then that's okay. We don't expect to be in harmony and unity with Satan.
Absolutely, Dr.
Prince.
And you know
prince
what? That's and Brother Nook, that's easier said than done, because I'm thinking about people in relationships who live in the same household. They have struggles being in harmony with each other. And so I think that we need to be cognizant of how important love is, and how love is to temper and to be the factor that determines how we operate with one another. And you know, I guess I don't, or maybe we take it for granted when we're around each other and we live in the same household. But I do believe as we are to promote, and wouldn't that be awesome if we could promote the good of the other person? And then I wonder, would we really have the issues, the dysfunctionalism, the disunity, or the frustration, even though it's temporary, you know, if we intentionally looked out for the other person? If everybody was looking out for everybody else.
Yeah, Dr. Susie, I think you, this is Eric, I think you're right. We I think there'd be less of the issues that we have.
Less.
Let me, on something that Dr. Nook said, let me read this, and this is Paul. This is Philippians 4, passage that we all know. Philippians 4, starting verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's already done. If you do this, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
I mean, so, you know, even in the midst of all that's transpired and all that we see and we know, you know, the tone, the rhetoric, you know, even now the appointments, you know, anybody that's being authentic and looking at that know that it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. But when we, who are called by God's name, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, then God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, save us and heal our land. But we got that, we got to do, you know, that if part in there first. And there's a choice. And if we are Christians, then we should be grabbing that choice and saying, yes, this is what we're going to do, and doing this in harmony. And understanding that everybody, as I said, that everybody that says that they're Christian may not be a Christian. And there's going to be some friction. Dr. Nix is absolutely right. If you're walking in concert with the world, something's wrong. If you're a Christian and you walk in concert with the world, something is wrong. If there ain't no friction and no uneasiness about what you're doing and what you're going through and everything seems to be okay, there are some issues there. I can't tell you what they are because I don't know each individual person, but there are some issues there. Because if Christ, who was there when the world was created, came and it said his own received him not, and he had conflict from day one.
Amen.
Amen.
From day one. Can we look at Ephesians 4, 25 through 27, please? Ephesians 4, 25 through 27.
Can I read something before we do that, Brother Jefferson?
Absolutely.
It's 1 Corinthians 3. And it says, anyone who builds on that foundation, talking about foundation, Jesus Christ is our foundation. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved,
amen,
like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves if you think you're wise by this world's standard. You need to become a fool to be truly wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolish to God. And so, as you were saying about we need to understand the role that, you know, we play as believers. And for those of us who are believers, God, there's a time coming to test whether we are true or not. There's a time coming when God will separate the wheat from the chaff. There's a time coming when the goats and the lambs will be separated, where will determine whether or not you get a reward by what remains standing after it's gone through the fire.
Amen.
So we have a choice.
And absolutely, and I don't think, this is Eric again, and I don't think that's any more clear than when you read Matthew 20, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And it talks about that final judgment. It talks about the Lord saying, you know, those of you that have cared for the sick and visited those in prison and those that were sick and given, you know, water to those who were thirsty, and how that goes. So absolutely, Dr. Susan. Ephesians 4.
Ephesians
25 through 27.
I've got it.
Okay.
Can you go ahead and read that, Dr. Nook?
So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Amen.
Amen. I think we forget what a lie really is. See, a lie is not just a statement that's contrary to what's fact, but it has the intent to deceive attached to it.
Absolutely. And we've heard a lot of those over the past couple of months, haven't we?
My Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I mean, we have.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree.
And those who should be calling that out are sitting back on the sideline allowing it to happen without
Amen.
Calling any attention to them.
Yeah.
And so God is not pleased with that. You know, when you have a you know, so let's just call out. I mean, you've got a preacher or preachers who are reporting stories that they know are not true. To boast their political gain, instead of being concerned about the well-being of all people.
Amen.
Amen.
And so you're absolutely right, Dr. Susie. It is intended to deceive. It is intended to be false. It is intended to drive people away from the truth. And now you've got these folks who think that stuff is true and there is no more truth to it whatsoever. And so we who are Christians and we who know better need to know that we need to stand up and call that out. Now, is there going to be some pushback and fight? Absolutely. Because Satan doesn't want to give up control.
Amen.
But brothers and sisters, we know the end of the story.
Amen. But you know, the scripture in Revelations 22:15 says that hell is prepared for whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Revelations 22:15.
There you go.
All right.
See, we don't think
that anybody who lies just go to hell, but it's saying people whose lives are controlled by lies, meaning that they love lies and they make lies.
Come on.
This is what they do. They lie, and I just got to say this, and I'm going to quit. But if you pay attention to the fact check, I mean, it was a lie every 30 seconds.
There you go.
Absolutely.
So we have to be mindful of, you know, even when we think that we're lying to help somebody, we're not helping somebody by lying. You need to tell the truth. And we need to
Amen.
Stand And I think it makes it worse. I mean, what do y'all think? When, you know, sometimes people say, well, maybe I'll save them by not telling the truth.
No.
The Christian life is supposed to be controlled by truth.
You know, I had an old God tell me sometimes, say, when somebody asks you a question and you really don't want to answer it, just tell them, why do you need to know that? Why do you think you need to know the answer to that question? I mean, you have the right to answer those questions and not answer those questions.
Man.
But if someone asks you and you're willing to give them an answer, you need to go ahead and give them the truth. You're not sparing them.
You're
creating problems for yourself, in all honesty.
Well, it was like Dr. Susie said earlier, it's an untruth told with the intention of deceiving people, you know, and the lies were told with the intention of deceit and controlling people. And many people ran along just like just following a lie. And many of them didn't even care if it was a lie and knew it was a lie. So what does that say of our culture? And to what you were saying, the brother teacher, we should be calling it out. But if you call it out, I mean, and you have the whole evangelical church in support of a person that's telling 70% of the stuff he tells is a lie, and the evangelical church is following that and supporting that person, and then, you know, how can you say to people that this is the church of God and we're trying to do what is right and it's wrong to tell lies, and here the evangelical church is in support of a candidate that 70% of the stuff he's saying is a lie? I mean,
everybody don't look at that and separate that to say the invalid evangelical church. They just see the church. And so it impacts the witness for all of us.
Amen. You're right.
It absolutely does. And our mission is to call that out and let God fight that battle. And say, you know, yeah, the evangelical church, you know, is following this and believing this, but it is a lie. And let me tell you how I know it's a lie, and produce those facts to that. Now, everybody don't want to hear the facts. A whole lot of people don't want to hear the facts.
Come on.
But it is still our job, Dr. Nix, it is still our job that when that comes to our front door, that we need to speak truth to that matter. And understand that it's going to be contentious. There ain't no doubt about it. But we are called to do that, and then to turn that over to God.
Amen.
And that's what I want our listeners to catch hold of tonight is that, you know, what does true unity look like? It does look like, you know, putting ourselves in God and having that relationship with God and that fellowship with God and letting God lead us. But in doing that, we have responsibilities. You can't have that relationship and then sit on the sideline. You're going to have to get in the game. Because we are God's eyes and hands and feet on this plane. And he's purposely chose it to be that way. And I'm not really, you know, I'm not really concerned about the reward piece, and you know, we go through that, and Brother Carver always takes us through that, and he's very correct. But I'm not worried about that piece. My concern is that am I doing all that God has asked me to do? And when we're truthful to ourselves, not to each other, but when we're truthful to ourselves, we all realize that, you know, yeah, I could have done this better. I could have did this. I should have done this. I'll work on doing better. You know, Lord, you got to help me. You know, one of my prayers every morning in my devotion is, Lord, help me to discern those folks that you need me to deliver word to today. Because in my business, I may overlook them. But, Lord, help me to see them. Help me to prick my heart that I may see them and notice them and deliver the word that you need for them to hear. Because I want to do all that I can do, but sometimes we don't know what to do. I mean, let's face it, brother and sister, the stuff that's going on in this world is overwhelming.
Amen.
Yes.
It is absolutely overwhelming. And sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to go. You know, and it's flight or fight, you know, and we don't know, but God knows. If we've got that relationship and that source of power, you know, that's connected through all things, God will guide us and direct us.
Amen.
So put away all falsehoods and tell your neighbors the truth. Tell them the truth when they're spouting lies. Tell them the truth about what's going on. Tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says because we belong to each other. Now, of course, he's talking about the brethren here as we read this, you know. But even outside of the brethren, because we're all made in God's image, so we all belong to each other. And in the midst of having those conversations, don't let anger gain control over your life.
My Lord.
Amen.
Just don't. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Forgive.
There are people. There are people that have been angry for years. You know, this is so important, this anger thing, because we kind of pass it over lightly, and we think just because we aren't real mad at the time, at the moment, that we're over our anger. But there's some of us that have been angry for years, and we need deliverance. We need serious deliverance, because it affects us, and sometimes we don't even know that we're mad. And we're just mad about stuff, just mad, because something happened years ago that has upset our lives, and we operate and we walk in anger. And it's hard to walk in anger and walk in love at the same time.
Dr. Nooks, you have to be right, and I'd like to tell this quick story. I was at a church and was standing in the outer hall waiting to go in, and you know, people will be themselves till they get into the sanctuary. And I heard this conversation between two women, and one said, "Well, you know, I don't like her." Another said, "Well, why don't you like her?" "Well, my mom didn't like her mom, so I don't like her." And I kind of look, and I'm like, "Really? You don't even know this person, but just because your mom didn't like her mom, you don't like her?"
My Lord.
And you get ready to walk into a sanctuary and talk about you get ready to go in and praise God?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yep.
That's asinine. That really is. I mean,
Brother
that,
Eric,
that is just.
The challenge to me is we seem to minimize those things like anger and backbiting and hate and, you know, the things that it talks about in Ephesians, because they're common. And we think we have the right to ignore that, but we're accountable for that. You know, you can't go in church and worship God in spirit and in truth when there ain't no truth up in what you're doing. You know?
Absolutely.
It just.
I mean, didn't Christ tell him, leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile yourself to your brother?
Yes.
That's what it says.
Amen.
There you go.
So you're absolutely right,
you
Dr. There ain't
Brother
no truth up in there.
On your heart.
But what it says.
I heard
is
Brother Lester back
there.
Go ahead.
No, did you hear me? Go ahead.
Yeah.
When we talk about lies and all that kind of stuff, if the church does not hold to a standard, if the church does not say that we magnify God's word above God's name as God magnified his word above his name and allow his word to be the standard of truth, then basically we're telling the world anything goes. Right? And
Amen.
In Romans 17, it says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned." It says, keep away from it, right? And if we are to say that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and we're all one body, then we can't have Pentecostals and Apostolics and Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians and Catholics. I mean, it's got to be the body of Christ or this other stuff. And what we see is celebration of tradition, celebration of men, celebration of organizations, marking time, given the beginning of the Lutheran church or any other church you want to talk about, instead of the body of Christ and preaching Christ first. As a matter of fact, I think in the last lesson, that's what Brother Eric pointed out was, you know, we are to teach Christ. We are to preach Christ and Christ crucified.
Amen.
And what he did, and he did at the right hand of God, and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in one of us so that we too could reconcile the world back to God. And until we become one body, we're going to be a joke to the world. All these divisions are unacceptable to God. And that's what's on my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's a sermon in itself, Brother Carver. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Right. And so let's look at Philippians, and I've got it, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. Philippians 1. Actually, I'm going to read 27 through 30. It says, but whatever happens to me, you must live in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ as citizens of heaven. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing side by side, fighting together for the good news. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this fight together, brothers and sisters. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of this great struggle. So, listeners, we have been called to this fight. We have been called to stand side by side by our brothers that are preaching it together, the good news of Christ, not the other stuff, the good news of Christ. We are going to be have enemies. They're going to try to intimidate us, but we know that we are saved by God himself, and we know that we are going to suffer. And it's going to be a great struggle until Christ returns or until you go to see God.
All right.
There ain't no happy medium here. There's going to be a struggle. But our faith is in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in God who strengthens us. Our faith is in God who gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Come on.
And we got to walk on that. You got to – let me rephrase that. You ain't got to walk on that. You got to put that on and wear that.
All right. There you go.
You got to put that on and wear that. And the only way I know to stay with that is to have an authentic relationship. And that means foregoing an hour of sleep in the morning or in the evening or during the day of something to get in God's word, taking time to be in prayer morning, noon, and night all through the day, taking time to turn down that plate, to ask God to operate in your lives in a way that he hasn't before,
okay.
To be mindful of that. I mean, I ain't saying you got to do the Christ thing in 40 days, you know, but sometimes you got to make some sacrifices. And
Amen.
We got to be truthful about who God is, what Christ has done, and standing against all who try to say otherwise. And you're not going to be popular. And sometimes you may not even be popular in your own home.
My Lord.
Come on.
But I'm here to tell you that God will cherish that and reward you for that, because you're being obedient to what God has asked you to do.
Amen.
And the scripture tells us, who should you be concerned about? That can only kill the body, or that can take the body and the soul? And the word clearly tells that the souls go back to the God that giveth. And so I want to close before I turn it back to Dr. Susan. I really do want to thank all of you for your prayers and being patient with me tonight, because I'm just starting to come out of the fog. Thanks be to God and His Word.
Amen.
And so I want to leave us with this one. And this is 1 Corinthians 1, 10. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing amongst yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That's what real unity and harmony looks like. I appeal
Amen.
To you by the authority of Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing amongst yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. God has called brothers and sisters in Christ to be of unity. He's called us to that. That shows Christ. And if you think it's not true, the last scripture, the very last scripture tonight, is one that I read a couple weeks ago. And I want us to be mindful of this. And this is in Proverbs 6. There are 6 things the Lord hates, no 7 things that He detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, there goes that lying again, Dr. Susie. Hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord among the brethren.
Amen.
Dr. Sue, I turn it back to you.
Amen, amen. Let's give Brother Erica a thank you, amen, for the work that
amen.
You've done for the month
amen.
Of November. We thank
amen.
You so much
amen.
For that, and we look forward to the next time you'll be teaching. But
I thank all of you.
Right now,
I thank all of you for your participation and helping the study to go well, your insight and attention to the scriptures and dialogue is very helpful to those that are listening, because it takes all of us. It takes one. You may say something that somebody may hear and it may resonate, and they may, the light may come on. So it really takes all of us. So thank you, team.
Amen.
Yeah, and so tonight we ask that our radio audience understand that at any time, feel free to call in to 646-478-4932 and join us on the line. And we'd love to hear your feedback, to join in with our conversation. And if you just want to email us and continue the conversation via email, try drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. That's drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. So before we go, let's have a praise report and prayer concerns. Is there anybody who would like to lift up any praise reports?
Yeah, this is Eric. Just wanted to thank all of you for your prayers. I had some procedures today and won't have all the results back for a couple of days. Preliminary should be okay. So praising God for that I was able to get through today without any major issues or problems. And keep me lifted up and to do God's will.
Amen.
Amen. I just asked for prayer for my family. This is Dr. Susie for James and Sydney. And as I'm looking for permanent employment for ministry, that God would bless me with that. And asking a blessing for Sean as she is in the process of looking. And to cover those who are on the line, who attend and participate in the Bible study, for health and wealth and employment, and that our families would be well during this holiday season, and that you would protect us, oh God, as we go forth to do ministry. You know, one of the things we do is on the air is not only do we come to learn the information and share the information and what we know and have walked in, but we don't just leave it here as a discussion. We try to live that out in our everyday lives. So if there are questions you have, if there's ideas that you have that you'd like to have discussed on the show, on the radio broadcast, please feel free to, again, call in to the number 646-478-4932 or email drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Dr. Nix, would you feel free to close us in prayer tonight?
Dr. Susie, before you do that, this is Brett.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I just want to let everybody know that this afternoon I got an urgent call from VA. They're moving my surgery up to Friday morning at 6 a.m. Still not sure what the problem is. Excuse me. Still not sure what the problem is, but Monday I was scheduled to have a CAT scan, so that is out. But I just need your prayer. Not sure what's happening here, but, you know, I know I'm in God's hands, so. I appreciate your prayers.
Amen. So we can offer
Amen.
That prayer now, Brother Brett. Are there others who have prayer requests? All right.
Well, God, we lift up in a special way to start our prayer all for Brother Brett as he goes in for surgery, special Amen. Surgery call for Friday morning. God, we know you're able to do
yes,
all things but fail, and we know you're able to heal. We know you're able to
yes.
direct your doctors and nurses and caregivers and anesthesiologists and all those that would be involved in the surgery. And we're praying for a positive outcome during for the surgery, whatever it is, God, that we know you're able to do that and more. So please touch and protect Brett, and we pray for healing in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also lift up Dr. Susie and her family.
Yes,
James and Sydney, and we lift up her for permanent employment. We lift up Sean for permanent employment, and we lift up all those
yes.
that are listening in and participating for health, wealth, and ministry opportunities, and also to walk in ministry and walk in love and walk in unity and harmony. And God, we ask that for you to bless in a special way the Bible study and bless all those that are a part of it. And we pray for lives to be strengthened, lives to be changed. And God, there may be someone out there that's listening in that has not made a decision for you, and we pray that the Spirit would work in such a way that they would be moved to you, that they would come running saying, what must I do to be saved, and that they would give their lives to Christ. So we're praying for our country in a special way. We're even praying for our president-elect, God, that there would be this country would be moved in the right direction, that we would stop the division, that's such severe division that's in our country, that we would start being able to move together as a country. We also pray for the church, God, that it's also suffering division and going in different ways, that we would come together. And God, your church should be moving together. We're not a part of the world. We're part of you. Help all of us, all of those of us that are part of you, to see ourselves and understand that we cannot be elevated, that we must be reduced and you must be elevated, and that we must elevate others above ourselves. God, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for our teacher, and we ask for a special blessing for Brother Jefferson, God, who hasn't been well.
Yes,
he's
Lord.
Had some procedures also, and we pray for healing in his body. Thank you, Lord, for
yes.
all that you are. We give all this over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 We look forward to hearing everybody next week. God's blessings be with you.
God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.